Chief, I just have a comment and a question. So the drone's going to be located on the police station. Now, is there somebody that's a police officer or someone that's going to be trained at the station at all times? And is that person going to be a police officer, or is it going to be someone else that is going to get an additional salary? Or is there, I'm sure there's going to have to be many people trained because they're not always there at the same time.
Yeah, good question. Obviously, we're open 24/7, so we would have multiple people certified in this operation. So we'll have our sergeant level up, all our supervisors, and then ultimately we're looking at having our dispatchers as well. And no, they are not paid extra.
Okay, so that would just be incorporated into their salary?
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, this program is so easy to run that a patrol sergeant who is driving down Bald Hill Road can pull into the parking lot of Hobby Lobby and literally hit a button and launch that drone and watch it right from the scene.
Okay, but the coordinates have to be punched in?
Correct. So that's where our CAD system, our record management system, is functioning with Flock. And that's where we're talking about the money, right? There's that back-end software, all that stuff is making that happen. So it's not just They got to punch in numbers. It knows. It knows where the mall is. It knows all these different locations. So when that call comes in and our dispatchers, if they put it in right, if they put a call here at City Hall, the Flock system knows. And then when it launches, it knows to come here.
Okay. And just one comment in favor of this program. I don't know, maybe 4 or 5, 6 years ago, it was Father's Day. And I live on Connecticut Point. I live on Shawmut Avenue. And this young girl had fallen off the sandbar.
Sure.
And I believe it was either her uncle or two people that dove in after her. And the riptide over there, it's terrible. I've seen through the years many, people drown. And so for about 4 or 5 hours at least, my son and I were sitting on the deck just watching all of the departments, all of, fire trucks, police, fire boats, Coast Guard helicopters. We watched this go on for at least almost into the night. And then I believe the Coast Guard helicopters finally found a body floating. So I think that a drone in this situation, if you got a 911 call, and as opposed to using all of those resources, which were numerous, I mean, I don't know how many rescues and fire trucks, police boats, Coast Guard helicopters. So I think if the drone had flown out over the water, it's possible that that person maybe could have been saved, or that they would have found it and would have used less resources to find this gentleman.
Potentially. Obviously, a situation like that, it's all hands on deck. Every resource possible is going to head out there. Our drone would head out there as well.
But they could have maybe found the person quicker. Maybe giving this person a chance to live. It was in the summer, so the water wasn't cold.
Sure. Right. And that's where I mentioned before, where on scene, in that situation, we'd be able to drop our drone back down, switch the battery out, put the drone back up, and continue to hot swap those batteries out. So we could almost have a continuous drone in the air looking, as opposed to it having to come back to the station, recharge, go back out.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So I'd like to echo comments of my colleagues, particularly those of Councilman Napa. This is something where I think that based on the presentation, based on the information presented, and that hour-long Zoom meeting, and thank you for setting that up and giving us information ahead of and during that meeting as well. This is something that I am comfortable supporting. I think that Councilman Lattiser raises some good points when it comes to the dangers of this program creeping or expanding. And so that's obviously something that I think all of us on the city council should be aware of. $50,000 a year for one drone. If it expands beyond that, then really need to see the justification for a second one and how much value that can really add. But I suppose that one concern that I'd like to just talk about in a little bit more detail, and I mentioned this briefly during the Zoom presentation, comes similarly to privacy concerns. I think that we're off to a very good start when it comes to the ordinance that's on the books here. One moment, pulled up quickly. Yes, section 52-13. And the idea here that, okay, even though this drone is from a Flock, it is not going to be integrated with those other Flock cameras. And specifically using of this drone for automated license plate reading purposes, that would be forbidden by the ordinance on the books because the drone is mobile. It is not stationary. So it's not going to be used for that purpose. But along similar lines, the drone does pose some potential privacy concerns beyond ALPR. So looking at, as we have to do, obviously this is not my area of expertise when it comes to law, but I have some background from law school and being an attorney and bringing even representing some clients in privacy claims. U.S. Constitution, Rhode Island Constitution, Rhode Island ordinances, there are privacy ordinances, privacy statutes and constitutional rights. So there's a case from 40 years ago, California v. Serralo, I believe it is, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, has to do with a low-flying aircraft that was 1,000 feet above. And very briefly, U.S. Supreme Court found that that was not an unreasonable search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment. A low-flying plane taking photos from 1,000 feet up, considered to be navigable airspace. And from what I'm reading online, it seems that navigable airspace in a so-called congested area, which Warwick would be as a city, navigable airspace would be generally considered 1,000 feet up. Obviously, cameras, drone technology, all of that vastly improved in the last 40 years. And, well, just because technology improves doesn't mean that people's rights should be diminished. And the whole point of constitutional rights, and as much as cases focus on the remedy, the purpose of these in the first place is to deter and prevent violations, because the person sitting around in their backyard who just wants to be left alone and not seen by anybody, that person isn't going to be filing a lawsuit in court necessarily, almost certainly not. So it is a concern that I do want to just make sure to raise here on the record. I very much appreciate that this technology would be used as a matter of response and not proactive, oh yeah, let's just fly around 200 feet and snap photos and thermal images all over the place to see if we find anything. That is very important, and that's the reason why I'm comfortable moving forward here and giving approval. But beyond that, I think it's important for the city to similarly have protocols here when it comes to deletion of that data, any data, unless, of course, it needs to be stored because of pending or reasonable belief of an ongoing or pending criminal matter, that it's Similar to ALPR, it's not going to be turned over to other city departments or the like. And I have confidence that the department will do that, implement those particular protocols, and make sure that there's transparency about all of that to make sure that citizens here in Warwick can have confidence that, you know, if they see a drone flying overhead, no, it's not going to be putting all sorts of data about their whereabouts in some sort of database that's going to be collected over time and track people or something of that nature. So,
can I jump in real quick?
Oh, please, thank you.
So yes, those recordings are destroyed almost like an ALPR data. 30 days, it's gone, unless we want to pull it for evidentiary value. Like our ALPR program, there is a transparency portal for the drone. So it'll be on our website. It shows every single flight that this drone will do. It'll show exactly where the drone went. It'll map it out. It'll tell you why it went, like what the call number was, and what the reason for that call was, and how long that drone, you know, was up in flight. So that data does not go away. That stays on that transparency portal forever.
Thank you. Really appreciate all of the due diligence here, taking this technology and its implications very seriously, as the department should. And at the same time, we don't want to be depriving ourselves of an incredibly useful technology that can do things that officers simply cannot do, or can do more efficiently and really add value there. So I think that the value is here. It's being paid for out of the asset forfeiture fund. This very much makes sense to me after looking at all of those different concerns. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you. Any other questions? Councilman Muto?
Hi. It's not a question, but it's a thank you to Councilman Ricks for looking out for the security, data security. I knew you were going to cover that for us, so I appreciate that, and appreciate working with the Warwick Police Department, understanding that and helping us understand that we are protecting the data of our citizens. Thank you very much.
And I want to just add too that I did reach out to the city solicitor just to get an opinion, and he did agree that, you know, as long as we're not conducting surveillance and, you know, proactive patrols, you know, which would require search warrants, which we do get now with our drones, that we would be in a good place.
Thank you for that. Thank you, everyone. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions, comments from members of the public? Just state your name for the record, please.
Good evening. Michelle Comar, Ward 1. This sounds like a good project, and I won't repeat any of your good questions. So apparently the Zoom presentation you had was really good. You had some good questions. I won't express any financial concerns because I think you covered it, and the legal issues that may be arising. So the couple times I had to call the police for people that needed assistance, I could see where the drone would be useful. And one is in marine situations, thank you, Councilman DeLuise, where a boat got stranded on Connecticut Sandbar. They weren't familiar with the waters. They kept their sails up. The wind was taking them in the wrong direction. They were going to swamp. And it would be nice to have a drone saying, we see you, we got you in our sights, help is on the way. And I was going to ask the council to the officer, please, if this drone picks up infrared hotspots, I guess body heat, at nighttime, what's their nighttime capabilities?
It does, yes.
Great. Okay. And regarding mutual aid, like what other communities have the same technology and would be shared, like mutual aid shared today for other emergencies?
Colonel? Right now, I don't know of any other community in Rhode Island that has this. Like I said, Newport is looking for it. Cranston's trying to get a grant to get these drones, and same with Providence.
Okay, so where I could see it, my second phone call I made, I got to commend the police department. I got the woman's name, and then the police were right there. I mean, so fast. And the dispatcher stayed on the line with me. So that's really good. But I could see where maybe an instance where every second counts, and there's some bad assaults or something going on. How is this drone identified in the air as a deterrent for people continuing their bad doings? Is it painted in with Warwick WPD? Are they broadcasting bad boys, bad boys? What are you going to do? I mean, how is this drone identified?
Michelle, could you be more descriptive, please?
Excuse me.
I'm only fooling. I'm only fooling. It's all yours, Chief. You go to it.
No, the drone does not have WPD on it. I'm sure we could put a sticker, but I'm not sure somebody would identify that from that distance. It's not really meant to be a deterrent and scare people away. It's meant to get eyes on a scene. So a lot of times we get phone calls from the public, the information that's provided to us, not because they're trying to mislead us, but sometimes isn't accurate, right? So we might think that two people are fighting at a call, you know, that might be 10. You know, so we're responding to those calls based on the information that we get. So if we think it's a couple of people, we might send two cars. If it's a whole bar fighting, we're probably gonna send the whole shift, right? Mm-hmm. So to get that drone up in the air, to get eyes on, we'll be able to identify really quickly what the scope of that situation is. That limits the amount of personnel we have to actually have responding to a scene. So in that instance of a bar fight, we're having potentially 13 cars responding from all over the city, lights and sirens, driving really fast, which causes issues. We could basically get that drone up and say, nope, there's only two people fighting in the parking lot. Let's just get two cars in there and handle it. So it's not, again, meant to get it up there so people don't commit crimes and do bad things. It's to get our officers eyes on scene before they show up so they know what they're walking mm-hmm. into or driving into.
I can see that. So I guess that's all my comments. I had one more, but I can't think about it right now. Well, there's two bids on the package for drones.
We'll get to those.
Right. We get to them. But just to compare the price, because we're going to move on from this one. The other one is a lot least expensive. I mean, a lot. I don't want to use the word cheaper because we might be comparing apples to oranges here.
Totally different.
Right. But one is for SWAT and one is for the police department. Why are these drones so specialized?
The SWAT drones are really small. They're meant to get into tight quarters where this drone isn't. So that's the big difference in the drone. And again, the pricing really comes down to their technology and their software and everything on the back end. Mm-hmm. Not so much the drone itself, the cost of the drone itself.
Councilman Lazar, you might have asked this question. I came in a little later. Did you ask if there were other bids besides the well-known Flock company?
I do not think so. There was discussion on that, Chief. So there was another prototype, I'm going to call it, but go ahead and answer the question.
Was there another bid? No, we did not go out to bid. I've been in conversations with multiple companies. There's not a ton in this space right now. And there's not a ton that we would want to get into business with. There's a few, and the pricing that I received for those companies are higher than what we're paying or what we would be paying for this product. And quite honestly, their drone, the Flock drone is far superior in speed and distance that it can go. Okay. So we'll be getting an inferior product by going with a bigger vendor, if you will, a competitor, for more money.
Okay. So, excuse me, I'll just interject. If I recall, and I forget the name of the other potential, it does not have the capability in terms of distance, does not have the capability in airtime. The battery time does not compare to the battery time of this. And the serviceability of it also was a question, if I remember correctly.
Everything you just said was correct.
I wouldn't say anything that wasn't correct.
Never.
And I will say, in having conversations with these companies, I don't want to say I got a warm and fuzzy feeling from Flock, but they were very attentive to us. What they said they would do, I believe. I know they have other products out there with other agencies. I've spoken with those other agencies. We had about an hour Zoom call with Dunwoody, Georgia. They have this technology. They've been using it for quite some time. I know everything that Flock told us they're going to do. I didn't have that same feeling with the other companies.
Mm-hmm. And the way the bid reads in the summary is purchase the drone, and I guess the software that goes with it. Is there any going to be any downtime, or did these contracts, if one drone is in repair, is there an immediate replacement to take over?
Correct. So if anything were to break on the drone, say a propeller, anything that goes out, they overnight that part to us, it gets fixed immediately. If the whole drone goes down, yes, they will have a new drone with us within 5 business days to just swap out that drone. So there's very, very little downtime if something were to happen to that drone.
Thank you for your answers, Chief. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you. Just identify yourself for the record again, please.
Rob Cody, Ward 7.
Thank you.
So with any type of technology such as this, there's unintended consequences. Specifically when the colonel has testified tonight that you don't have a fiscally sustainable program. Now, Mr. Lattice, so you asked the question stating, could that forfeiture money be used for the console that they were talking about? So my question is, can that forfeiture money be used for the ammunition that they want?
Based on law enforcement use only, I would probably say yes, but I would have to look.
All right, because you said if it has to do with police capability. So you've just found your solution to the ammo problem right there. So I have issues with this for a number of reasons. Like in the example that Councilman DeLuise gave, in that situation, I have no problem with drones being dispatched from on-scene personnel, from the deck of the Coast Guard cutter or a police cutter or a fireboat. I have no issues with that. I do have an issue when we're turning Warwick into the Jetsons and we have these things bolting across the city at 60 miles an hour. So you're going to realize every time a piece of equipment is dispatched, whether it's a plow, a police car, or an ambulance, whatever, the city incurs liability, right? This now adds another level of liability. Notwithstanding the fact that I'm sure you guys all realize we're in a controlled airspace with TF Green. The police station is on the direct approach to runway 5, and it's on the direct departure to 23. And as you all know, Mickey Stevens, that's your approach to 36 and your departure to 16. So you're in the flight zone. So I have great concerns about situations like that. When in the summertime you have Cessnas doing touch and goes and they're at 200 feet coming over the police station. I know that because I'm one of those pilots that does that, right? So that's a concern to me. Another concern is, you know, it says that it launches automatically in response to 911 calls or other calls, providing real-time aerial video and situational awareness to first responders before they arrive on the scene. So am I to interpret that if there's a situation and we have a police officer that's rushing down West Shore Road at 50 miles an hour, that on his console, on his computer console, he's getting a live feed of what's going on?
Can I answer? Okay. No, absolutely not. That footage is being viewed by someone at the police department, or if a sergeant or somebody pulls over to the side of the road to view that. The normal officer that's on responding to those scenes are not going to see that. That information will be relayed from the dispatch to them, letting them know the situation that they're coming
from. But it says right here, it says it gives first responders real-time video prior to arriving on the scene.
Yes, I'm a first responder. I'm viewing it. I can give that information out to the units heading to the scene.
So the device doesn't have the capability to send that video live stream to the police car?
Not. It's who is basically taking over control of that drone. So, yeah, if an officer is trying to drive a car and drive the drone at the same time.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That would be the only way. That would be the only way.
So what I'm saying is, while a police officer is driving, does this technology have the capabilities to send live video to the police car on their console, on their computer?
Not those officers, no.
It does not?
Correct.
So there's no scenario where the police officer in his car is going to see live video from the drone?
Correct.
Okay. And the reason I ask that, because obviously distracted driving and so forth. But, you know, we're going down this rabbit hole again with more and more surveillance. And, you know, we don't have the money for it, right? We've established that. The colonel has established that. We don't have the money for it. We're predicting that we'll have more seizure money. Right now, we've got 50,000 or whatever the number was. We're predicting that we'll have more. Well, if we don't, where's the money going to come from? You guys are going to come to the taxpayer, and we're going to change things around, bait and switch, and now we're going to have to come up with that money, right? This was not in the budget, right? We have a budget process that says this is the amount of money that we want to expend, so forth and so on, and we don't have the money to do that. So once again, we're putting us at risk financially. This certainly has a liability. God forbid that this thing is flying down West Shore Road at 2 o'clock and it suffers a malfunction and it crashes to the ground. I mean, you have to look at those scenarios. It's not an impossibility. They have limited range and that could happen. And if in fact that does happen, the city's on the hook. You know, look, we have a great police department, probably the best in the state. I don't subscribe to the fact that we can substitute the police officers in the city of Warwick for a high-speed camera. I just don't see that happening. I don't see that increasing the safety in the city of Warwick. You know, it's on two hands. You could say, well, it could increase this, but on the other hand, you're adding liability in a number of different forms, particularly around the airport, right? That's a big problem. And I think you really have to check with the FAA to see what type of flight operations you're going to have, because you're going to be crossing perpendicularly. You're going to be crossing both flight paths, right? Both final approaches. And you're in the pattern. The entire city of Warwick, basically, to 5 miles out, is in the pattern, right? From ground level to 1,000 feet.
The FAA just is the one approving this, just so you know. It's not just
you don't have any of that in you.
I'm just saying, we're not the ones that are just randomly flying at the FAA. Through Flock is going to go out and get us those certificate of waivers that allow us to fly in those zero areas that I mentioned before.
So we don't have that yet. They haven't done that.
Correct. We would have to get this approved by council first before any of that's going to take place. But yes, this isn't just us flying this drone out there. So, and right now with our drone program, we could drive our drone or fly our drone around those areas. We just would have to contact the FAA every single time we want to do it. So there is nothing new with the drone and how we're operating it. It's the whole platform behind it and getting those waivers and the safety aspects that are built into the software of those drones, which is why the FAA allows the police department to fly those drones in areas where you couldn't. It allows us to do that without having a person observing that flight, because the way the laws are written prior to, I believe it was February of 2025, you could not do that. You always had to have, we'd have to have someone standing on our roof, right, and watching that drone fly out. If it got out of vision, you couldn't do it. It would have to come back.
Yeah, well, now it's not just line of sight. You'll be able to fly this out of your
correct with the sight. With the FAA's approval. Correct.
So
and just if I can just to answer a couple of other points that you made, these drones actually have radar detection system on them. So if it detects you flying at 200 feet, it's going to know. Within a half a mile radius, as it gets closer, it's going to start sending a warning to that drone. As it gets within a quarter of a mile, if this drone isn't, or you're not moving it, or if it's not moving, the drone's automatically going to steer away and get out of the way. So there's a crash avoidance system built into this software and this technology, which is why the FAA allows it.
You know, I can tell you as a licensed pilot, a half a mile and a quarter of a mile does not give a pilot enough time to react. But look, I just think if the council passes this and then you go to the FAA and there's any hiccup on the FAA, then what happens? The program dies?
Correct. We're not on the hook.
All right. And if next year you don't have money to support the program from seizures, then the program dies.
In 3 years from now, correct. And I will say to your first point, Flock has never, I don't want to use a double negative, not received the FAA clearance. Every time they've done this, they've received it and they've had hundreds of accounts. And the example that they showed, and I don't remember if the council members remember, they actually showed a department in California, Hawthorne Police Department, which literally sits right next to LAX. And they have complete 200 feet clearance to fly their drones everywhere. And the FAA approves that.
So again, I mean, I'm just talking about, you know, we got to tighten our belts, guys. You know, we're still spending all kinds of money on everything. And this is another expense where you're going to have an expense with training. You're going to have a monthly expense. And if the money runs out, you know as well as I do, once the program is instituted in the city of Warwick, it doesn't go away. They're going to come back to the taxpayers for more money at a time when we're facing enormous amounts of money. And I just don't see anywhere where we're tightening our belts on expenditures that are going to come back, you know, to the city. So, and I think we've got to be really, really careful with technology for the unintended consequences. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Identify yourself again.
Thank you, Robert Cushman. Is this a new contract with Flock, or are you modifying the existing contract that you have with them?
It's a new contract, totally different from the other contract.
Okay. Have you seen that contract, the council, the new contract?
Have I seen it?
Yeah. Have you had it, got a copy of the new contract?
Other than what we have in the binder here.
Has anybody from the city solicitor's office or your solicitor taken a look at the contract?
I can't speak for our solicitor. The chief just spoke earlier and said that the city solicitor has looked at it.
The city solicitor answered a separate question. If it is approved, yes, our protocol is always to send any contract that we do over to the city solicitor for them to review before we sign
it. And I would assume that contract must have liability language, limited liability language, right, that the solicitor would take a look at?
100%.
Okay. So most of my questions were answered, but so I just want to understand the process. So a call comes into 911, right? So the dispatch, who has the responsibility to determine if we're going to deploy this drone?
It's going to be someone at the supervisory level.
So it wouldn't be the dispatch person. They would have to, based on the call, they would call a supervisor in?
Correct. So our supervisors are constantly monitoring the radio. Our supervisors, we have called OICs, officer in charge, lieutenant and a captain. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's just one. Okay. They work every single shift. They're always on at their desk. They have the CAD system up and running, and they would be able to use the Flock software to deploy.
So then the supervisor says, okay, let's deploy this. Who physically gets onto, is there a separate terminal? Is the software active at all times? Who actually goes onto that terminal? And is it through the terminal that you automatically deploy that, or is someone going to climb up to the roof? And how does that work?
Good question. Yeah, so Flock has their own software that's built into our computer that's grabbing our data from, we have IMC, that's our record management system right now. So it's grabbing that data and pulling it onto their own dashboard, if you will. And that's where that person would hit the launch button.
Okay.
And the launch, it's picture a box, you know, substantial size box that sits on the roof. When the launch happens, the doors of the box will open, and then the drone goes up and heads to the scene. It does what it wants to do on scene, and then the drone knows to come back home.
So is this person control? Like, do you put a GPS location into the system and the drone automatically flies to that location, or does the operator have to fly it to a location?
It can be both, but yes, the every single location has the coordinates in it. So again, if we're going to the mall for whatever shoplifter that just took off, they hit that button, that drone starts flying right to that location.
Is there any additional hardware or memory or anything that you have to do on your computer systems to get this system up to snuff to work with the Flock software?
The only thing we have to do is bring power and Ethernet to our roof.
Okay. Is that part of this bid?
No, we'll do that through city personnel.
How much is that going to cost?
Exactly, I'm not sure, but it's just running conduit and an electrical wire.
Okay. And so you said $50,000 a year for 3 years, right? Do you have that broken down by, like, is there a cost with the actual drone? Is there a cost of the actual software interface? Is there a cost for data storage and all that? Is it separate?
It is not.
It isn't?
It's all packaged as one.
Okay. So one of the interesting things that you said was that you're going to have like an online portal or interface where people can go on and they can kind of look at where the drone's flowing and stuff. But, I mean, I would think if, you know, God forbid you're at a scene of a potential homicide or something like that or a major accident, you're going to want to redact some of that video. Who's going to do that?
You're not. So on the portal, you're not going to see actual video. You're going to see, like, if you went on to Google Maps, you know, and you just had like an overlay, you're just going to see a line.
Okay.
Like it says from here to the mall, for that example, and then the drone coming back. So you're going to see a line and a line. And
it's going to say, but you're going to have actual footage somewhere, right?
We'll have footage that we'll see that is not available.
Okay. Is that accessible for Freedom of Information Act, access to public records, that video?
It potentially could be, depending on whether or not it meets the requirements. Sure.
So he said potentially, but so do we know who decides whether what video is accessible or not?
It depends on, just like whenever you file an APRA request, it's reviewed. And it's decided whether or not we're going to, like the body camera situation.
Yeah.
So some of that was redacted. Some of it wasn't. So we look at the criteria of what the law allows us to release, and we released it based on the current statute of 38.
So when this camera is up in the air doing whatever it's doing, filming, right, where's it transmitting that video to? Is it directly to the police station, or is it going somehow to Flock devices?
Correct. It comes back to us.
To the police station?
Yes.
Okay. Is there, I'm just wondering how it does that. I don't have the text. It's like the cell phone. Like, is there a point in time where you need to upgrade your communication software or something? Because, you know, you're talking video now, right? We're not talking about, you know, a cell phone, which is only voice. You know how things happen when you're, you know, I do live streaming sometimes on YouTube, and if your connection's terrible, it gets all choppy and stuff. Is there anything that, has anybody looked at the communication protocol, and is it adequate to be able to accept this video transmissions?
They've never had a problem. I mean, until we, I know this sounds like we're putting the cart before the horse, but we won't know unless we get it approved.
You don't know?
It's what works. It's never not worked. No matter what we do at the station, we get video links and sent to us all the time. I'm not a technology guy, so I don't know. I don't know, even know how, when I pick up my phone and I call you, you can talk to me.
I understand. I mean, I think that question should be answered to determine, you know, you could be buying this, but maybe the communication protocol needs to be upgraded. You know how you, in your house, you can go to super Wi-Fi or 5G, 6G, whatever, but I think you should have somebody take a look at that.
I can't say we watched a video of a drone flying in Atlanta on our computer screen and on my phone without an issue at all when we did the drone demo, and the council members that were there for that or were on the Zoom call for that saw the same thing, and there was not a single issue.
Yeah.
As you guys can recall, and that picture was as clear as you could possibly be.
So is the video being stored on hard drives located or computers in the police station, or is it Flock recording that and saving that video?
Yeah, it's on the AWS cloud.
But is that something that's part of the package where Flock maintains that?
We don't pay for that at all, correct?
No, I know that, but yep. I'm just saying the ownership of the servers, are they police department servers, or are they?
It's theirs.
It's theirs.
It's our data.
Who controls, you know, you said something about, you know, the data gets deleted in 30 days. I mean, who's deleting that? Is it the Flock people deleting that? I mean, how do you know they're deleting it?
Just like at ALPR cameras, the data's gone. I can't go back and look.
Okay.
I don't know how else to answer that for you.
I'm a technology guy. Sorry for all these crazy questions. But so if you decide that, you know, you need to keep some video for longer because it's associated with a crime scene, how do you do that?
Then we can pull it in. Then that's when we'll pull that specific video into our evidence and store.
So you need to do that because after 30 days, no matter what, they're going to delete it.
100%.
Okay. So are you... I mean, you know, video is a lot of memory, a lot of storage. So, like, I guess once again, are you gonna maybe beef up,
Mr. Cushman? You have 2 minutes.
Okay. Are you gonna beef up maybe some of your servers and things like that because you might have the potential to have to keep a lot of video? Are you gonna look at that?
Right now, we have more than enough storage.
Okay.
I mean, this is probably an issue 10 years down the line. But not right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record, sir.
Okay. Name is Frank Capaco. I'm a retired security salesperson.
Get close to the mic, sir.
Okay, good. I can answer the questions that Chief is going to need to implement it if you guys decide to do it. I apologize. Frank Capaco. Okay. To run an Ethernet cable is going to be a few $100, up and down, as long as you get conduit going in. And to run power, you're going to run power next to it, and your electricians can do that, city electricians. So the cost of the implementation at the end is going to be very inexpensive. I wish you luck. I heard a lot of the presentation. You're going to be bleeding edge compared to most cities and towns. But it sounds like it's somewhat you're looking forward to implement it and to make work a safer place. I hope you have the money to do it. That's the only questions that they have behind me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Any other questions from members of the public? Any other questions from members of the public? Hearing none, Councilman DeLuise. Excuse me, come to the mic. I can't hear you. Go ahead.
I apologize. I just had a quick follow-up question. In the case of an access to public records request for video, whether it was in an accident or my house was on fire and that drone was used, 30 days later, that video is gone. How do I get that? It's now a public document that the city of Warwick owns, right? And it's used by taxpayer equipment. If I want a public records request from footage that was gained by that drone, it's gone in 30 days. How do we get it? What are the protections for that information? Because frankly, that information is owned by the taxpayers. So we have no say in the matter when it's deleted in 30 days. And as you guys know, a lot of times it takes more than 30 days to get public records requests. You got 10-day waiting period, and then they can always say we need an extra 20 days. That's here in-house. Now you're gonna go to another server, another individual that's I don't even know where they are, some other state, someplace. And you're going to have time frames where you have the potential to have public records that could be very important. Let's say, God forbid, you have a house fire and it's on video and your insurance company wants it, right? And then all of a sudden the video disappears. What kind of protections are there to maintain that in the case of a public records request? Thank you.
Thank you.
A valid question. Just like our ALPR cameras, it's the same thing. 30 days, it's gone. So we've received public record requests for data that we no longer had. So we could not provide it. In the case that you're saying, if you tell us you have a public records request and you're within that 30 days, then yes, we would hold that. We wouldn't say, oh, it's 10 days, we're going to run the clock out on you. You would ask for a preservation of that data, and we would fulfill that APRA if it did comply with the legal standards.
Also, you're required, if you're going to exceed the 10 days, when I say you, I'm generalizing, you're required to provide a reason why you're exceeding the 10 days.
Correct.
Now, to the point of that question, the speed cameras, they're no different, right? It's 30 days and that stuff's gone. Flock cameras, right?
I, I'm not the speed traffic camera guy.
Yeah.
That's the commander.
Don't quote me on it, but I seem
but
to
I can
remember
speak
that.
For the anyway. Flock ALPR cameras.
Okay.
30 days.
Sorry. Councilman DeLuise, we're here till midnight, buddy. Don't worry about it. You might not be, but we are.
I just have a couple of comments. Every time I turn on the news and I hear that police officers responded to domestic violence call and they get ambushed in whether state police and they end up getting killed. Other situations where this the drones may have been helpful, the Brown University shooting. If the drones had been on the scene, that person that committed that crime maybe wouldn't have gotten away with killing another person in a different city. Because the same, that shooter ended up killing someone else. So I think, yeah, we have to rein in the spending. Maybe we can do it in other places, but if the drones can save lives, I think it's worth the try.
Thank you.
Councilman Muto.
Actually, the gentleman in the public just triggered something. This $50,000 a year, does this include the installation or is that going to be a separate? So all costs.
Yeah, 100% perfect. Installation, everything, yeah, right. Software.
I just didn't want to come up in 2 weeks and say, oh, we need another $15,000 for high axle.
You know, absolutely not.
High capacity. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, everyone. Moving on to item number three, purchase a 2026 Peterbilt cab and chassis, found on page 24.
Just identify yourself for the record, please.
Good evening, Christy Moretti, Public Works. We are making a request for the Water Division to purchase a new 2026 Peterbilt 548 cab and chassis. This is just the cab and chassis portion of the vehicle. It is not outfitted with any sort of body on it. That's something that we will do at a later date. We are going to source it. We had gotten a quote for a body for this vehicle. It was $98,000. So we're going to look to source something that's less expensive in the future, but it will be a dump truck for the Water Division. This truck will replace I think I mixed up the years on my letter. It's going to replace a 2023.
I think it's a 2007.
I was confusing it with another truck that needs to be replaced for them. That one's a 2007. This one's replacing an 03. And then they have, they have a 2003 that will be given to the Highway Division. They have a 2018 that they use daily. So they'll have two, and then the oldest one will transition to the Highway Division for their use, primarily for, you know, wintertime and plowing and such. We use our dump trucks, but not as frequently as the Water Division. They do a lot of site work, water breaks, things like that. So the request is to buy just the cab and chassis for $135,199 from the Peterbilt store, Rhode Island. And if this purchase included in your package, there was a note from the dealership that this is in stock on the ground. If we order a chassis now, it would be $151,975, and we would have to wait for a build. So we are looking to source vehicles for the most economical way we can. Right now, this is one that's readily available for the Water Division, so that's what we're looking to do.
So, Christy, I'm a bit confused because in the position paper that we have, it says this vehicle will replace a 2007 dump truck which will be transitioned to the highway division for plowing.
Correct. I made a mistake. I confused the 2007 truck. They have a 2007 that does need replacing. It's a service truck. I've been juggling a lot of balls lately. So when I wrote this letter, I just mixed it up with the other one, that the 2003. So
what's the year? Is it a
2003?
2003?
Yes.
Okay. And what was the 2003 used for?
The water department uses that. It's still in their rotation for trucks. They use it for site work. They use it for water main breaks. They use it for, you know, whatever their needs are in that.
Hauling dirt and gravel and
yeah.
All that sort of stuff, right? So isn't plowing far more abusive on a truck than just hauling dirt and gravel and stuff?
I mean, it's all relative. You know, it depends on how bad of a winter season we have. You know, this season has been particularly hard for us. But, you know, the last 3 years have been fairly light. So it just kind of ebbs and flows. So I wouldn't say that this vehicle has been, you know, driven hard over, you know, since we've owned it. But, you know, it has had been put through its paces for certain things. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I just think that putting a truck out to pasture for consequential stuff is one thing. Sending it out to be used as a plow, when it's going to be loaded with, at the very least, it'll be loaded with dirt, possibly dirt and salt, and have a spread of thing in the back, is way more abusive than just hauling around sand and stone or whatever. But my biggest problem with this is that, once again, you're looking, and I'm generalizing, Christy, I don't mean you personally, the department is looking to buy the Cadillac of trucks, the Peterbilt, as opposed to other trucks that have the same capabilities, qualities, etc. And what is troubling me is that this is being done without going out for bid, and we're relying on the state MFP, whatever you call it. Now, with that said, I just quickly went online and Googled this truck, this six-wheel dump truck, F-650, and I've gotten four of them just like that. 2026, 2025, brand new trucks. They've already got the dump body on them. And the prices range anywhere from $92,258 to $104,000 is the highest. And they're readily available. They're right there. Now, they're not Peterbilts, but I don't care about a Peterbilt. If the truck is going to do the same job and it already comes equipped with a dump body, okay, so you got to put a plow package on it. I get it. But the dump body, I'm going to assume, is a lot more expensive than a plow, then why aren't we doing that? I think this is an item that should absolutely go out for bid. There is plenty of inventory out there, and we see it right here. And I found this in maybe 15 minutes of just doing an internet search. I'm not criticizing anybody for not doing it, but I think this is one of those items when, as it's been pointed out, we need to reel in the spending. This is an area where we can, if it's determined that it's needed right now, as opposed to maybe next year, then you know what? Let's go out for bid. Because I think it shows right here in a simple search that you can be saving right now somewhere around $40,000 to $50,000 on just getting that cabin chassis versus getting a whole truck with a dump body. So I'll open it up for a discussion from my colleagues on the committee, but I can state now I will not be supporting just dropping and going and buying this truck because it is available, especially when it's not fitted with a dump body and we can get one. Questions from the council? Any? Councilor Muto.
Hi, Christy. This is more of a logistics question when it comes to our CDL drivers. So by purchasing this truck or a truck similar to this, we'll be adding another commercial vehicle to our fleet. Is that correct? Or are we retiring one?
So with if we were allowed to purchase this vehicle with the transition of the older vehicle to the highway division, highway would be able to retire a 2001 Ford L8000.
Okay, so we're not adding, so the CDL license issue that the city is having?
Correct.
It does not change. Okay, thank you.
Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Have any questions from the members of the public? Hearing none, I make a motion to send this out to be bid for this truck with a dump body already on it. We have a second. Any further discussions? All in favor? Aye. Okay, we have three ayes and one opposed. So,
Mr. Chairman, I couldn't understand or hear the motion and the vote.
Okay, my motion was to the committee.
Excuse me. I just want to clarify the parameters. The committee cannot mandate necessarily a rebid in itself. They can make a recommendation on denial, in which case the implication is either do something different or come back to us or follow that recommendation. But we cannot mandate that motion does not mandate them doing a certain thing. So I guess first off, given there's a disagreement about it, I would suggest we assign a PCR to this matter, and then whatever recommendation the committee would like to make or to send to the council, we can proceed from there.
Okay, so here's my intent. My intent is to deny this bid, okay, and to request that the department goes out and bids this.
Your intention is noted for the record. My suggestion to you to facilitate that would be assign a PCR, okay, and move unfavorable action.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, may we have a PCR on 2026-383? What is it? PCR 2926. Okay, Chief, even though we were in motion, and as you know, no further comments should be allowed, I'll extend the courtesy.
I was just going to, Bill Facente, Chief of Staff, I was just going to reiterate what Solicitor Walsh said.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we have PCR 29-26. And I've made a motion for unfavorable action on this item with the request that the department goes out for bid on this vehicle. We have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Okay. Councilman Napa, were you a yay or nay?
I'm sorry?
Yay. Thank you. Okay. So, PCR 29-26 has been approved by the committee, unfavorable action with a request to go out for bid, and it is three yes and one no. Thank you. Moving on to item number four, found on page 32, Horizon Event Management. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, so we are all done with the 50,000 and above items. Now, whatever is remaining, which is items 4 through 12, they're under 50,000. Is there anything, first of all, members of the committee would like to have set aside?
No.
Councilman Napa? No. Councilman Muto?
Number 5, 2026-301.
Okay.
391.
2026-391.
Okay. Councilman Muto has pulled that one out. Councilman Ricks?
Thank you. I'd just like to request PCRs on numbers 2026-386 and...
Hold on, Councilman, let's take them one at a time. Okay, so on number 2026-386, which is Neptune Meters, you want a PCR on that?
Right.
Madam Clerk? Thank you. Go ahead, Councilman.
And the same for the following, 2026-388.
Okay, 2026-388, Professional Services. Councilman Ricks has requested PCR. Madam Clerk? Thank you. Any further items from the council? Do we have any additional items from members of the public that they would like to have held? Any items from the members of the public that would like to be held? Okay, I just want to review two of mine. Okay, I'm going to hold out 2026-131, repairs to H-116. And I was going to hold out 2026-410, but information was provided to me earlier today from the chief of staff that satisfies my question. If anyone would like to contact me about that, you feel free to do so.
Yeah.
So let's start with item number 5, found on page 36, 2026-391. That is requested from Councilman Muto. Councilman Muto, go ahead. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Solicitor. My error. Any items that the members of the public would like to have held aside for further discussion? Any items from members of the public that you would like to held for further discussion?